How are you? And they keep talking. I mean, if you really cared how I am, why don't you wait until I answer the question? Okay, we're on page 40. Yes. 40 all the way at the bottom. V'yemer Elokim el ner v'albanev ite lemer. Okay? So, they're out of the flood. Ner brought a sacrifice. Hashem said, I'm not going to destroy the world anymore. Now you're allowed to eat meat, but you can't eat a live limb of an animal. Last time we spoke about suicide. If you're going to be killed by goyim, are you allowed to kill yourself? We discussed that whole thing last week. Okay, so now, Perek Tes Pasik Ches, chapter 9, sentence 8. It's page 40, the bottom line. V'yerolukim al neach v'abonavita lemerd, Hashem said to Neach and his children. By the way, there's two interesting opinions. The Pasik says God spoke to Neach and his children. Now, Noach's children were not that great, as we'll soon learn about Chum. So the question is, does the Torah mean Hashem spoke directly to the kids also? Or Hashem spoke to Noach, and Noach gave it over to the children? So there's two opinions how it worked. Okay? But either way, Hashem gave it to Noach and his children. I'm going to make my covenant with you. Not only with you, v'zarechem acharechem, with your children following you, your children after you. And why am I making this covenant? Because Noach, like we learned before, was afraid that maybe God will bring another flood, and all his work of getting the world repopulated is going to go to garbage, to nothingness. So Hashem says, I'm going to make a covenant with you. The definition of a covenant, by the way, that we learned is, you have this lahavdil in the secular world, two people make a covenant, or marriage is called a covenant. But in Chassidus it explains, in Torah B'chal it explains, the concept of a bris, a covenant between two people is like this. If you're friends, you're friends. You know, what do you have to make a covenant for? What's the purpose of a covenant? In case something comes up later on that should cause you to fight. So the covenant keeps you together, even though logically you shouldn't be together. I mean, that's what, you know, the world in marriage, that's what marriage is. If you're getting along, yeah, everything's good. But what happened to marriage? Even if things don't go so ay-ay-ay, the concept of marriage is you still stick it out, you work it out, and you work on it. So Hashem said like this, by making a covenant with you, to tell you that even if you don't deserve that the world should not be destroyed. You deserve that the world should be destroyed. I'm not going to destroy the world anymore. That's the covenant Hashem is making now with mankind, which now is Noach and his kids.
But isn't it like, didn't Hashem make later on a covenant with Moshe and Israel, as long as you're studying Torah?
Yeah, but this is, here we're talking about destroying the entire world.
Well, yeah.
No, but that's the Jews learning Torah. But I'm saying, but here he's making, Hashem made a covenant from the beginning of the creation that the Jews should accept Torah. But this, we'll see as we go along. Okay? So Hashem's promising, not only with you, v'zarechem acharechem, v'eis kol nefesh achay asher itchem, and this is an interesting concept, I'm making this covenant together with all the animals that are with you, in the birds, the animals, it's all the beasts of the land, itchem, with you. And now, basically, God's making a covenant with them too. Okay, now, the issue is, what in the world is that happening for? Why would God want to make a covenant with animals? They don't have free choice, they don't do bad. They're just programmed to do what they do. But nevertheless, Hashem says the fact that you were in the Teva, they were in the Teva together with you, and therefore it goes for the entire living existence of the world. Okay, but even every living being, creeping animals, in other words, like this, the Babinel says, why do they deserve the protection? The fact that they were in the ark and they behaved in the ark. No animals killed each other. They didn't mate in the ark except a raven when one bird did something wrong. So Hashem said, because of that, I'm making a covenant with them. And Ulakol Chaya Sa'aretz, Rashi says, what is that? I mean, Ulakol Chaya Sa'aretz, they were the Mazikan, the demons. Okay? Or non the domesticated beasts, they're not included in these. Other Mefarshim say, Rashi says it, Taka refers to the devils and demons. God made a covenant with them that he will never destroy them permanently. Now, it's interesting because the demons did exist in the time of the Talmud. In the time of the Gemara, the Shadim existed. There's a lot of stories in the Gemara, the damages that these Shadim did. So in the time of the Gemara, they banned them from humans. And later on in history, you'd have Adam Baal Shem, who was before the Baal Shem Tov. He was another person, generation or two before him, that was called Reb Adam Baal Shem. He banned them from the face of the earth. So now there's no more demons and devils shade them in the earth. In the time of the Gemara, they were there all over the place. They banned them from mankind, and then he banned them.
Under the ground?
These are more spiritual devils and demons. They're not physical beings. What? Why Hashem created them? Well, the guy Ashmedai, who was the chief of the Shadim, told Shlomo HaMelech how to get the worm that cut the stone, the Shamir. So how did Shlomo HaMelech know where to get him? Ashmedai told him. There are a lot of advantages of the Shadim. And why did Hashem create evil? Because in everything of evil, there's good. There's a little bit of good. What? Because Shadim are invisible. They're not physical beings. They're spiritual entities.
They still exist or they don't exist?
They don't exist anymore on the face of the earth because they were banned by the great rabbis.
But they still exist. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. God's covenant was not that they're going to get destroyed. They will exist, but not here. Up there.
But they do they have control?
No. No, not anymore. No more. That was banned already.
What was it that they did? They destroyed things?
They were called Mazikim. They used to do damages. They did good things also. But they did that. Like Ashmedai got Shlomo HaMelech, told him how to get the Shamir.
Well, there's also angels too. Angels.
They're different than angels. They're different than angels. Okay. Okay, Pasuk Yud Aleph. So basically Hashem said, I'm making a covenant never to destroy the world again. Okay? The entire world. But Vakimesi is Brisi Yitchem. Now Hashem's saying what the covenant is. Okay, I'm making the covenant Leikoris Kol Basar Eid Mimei Amabu. The people will not be destroyed anymore from the flood. We're on page 42. Hashem said there will never be a flood anymore to destroy the world. Meaning, the actual substance of the world will never be destroyed again, even if people sin. Like we said, that's the concept of a covenant. Even if you don't deserve it, the covenant will keep it anyway. Okay? Now, it means that never will any human being cut off, not by fire, the entire world we're talking. Countries, yes. Sections of the world, yes. God's covenant that he will never destroy the whole world like he did by the flood. The flood was the only time that God actually destroyed the whole world. Right? And that was the mistake with Pare in Egypt, because he thought God swore he's never going to bring a flood. So first of all, that mistake was that was the whole world, not to Egypt. And secondly, God said the flood won't come to the world, but they went into the water. The water didn't come to them. They were, by Kriyas Yam, they were thrown into the water. Okay. Now, what is this? This is the covenant that I'm giving between you, between me and you, all the Nefesh Chai, all the living things. Asher itchem l'dayreis eilam. Now, the word dayreis means for all future generations. But if you look at the word Deiris, there's a Vav missing. Normally, generations is Dalet, Vav, Reish, Vav, Sof. That's the way you write Dor. Dalet Vav Resh. So there's a Vav missing. Okay? Now, what is the two missing, the two Vavs? Means there will be certain generations that there won't be a need to show the rainbow. Okay, we're gonna coming into the rainbow now. The covenant God made with the Jew, with the world, is the rainbow. What's the concept of a rainbow? Hashem says, whenever you see a rainbow, it means that there is a part of the world that deserves to be destroyed, and I'm not going to destroy it. Only because of my promise that I made after the flood that I will not destroy the world again. But there are two generations that Chazal tell us. It was in the time of Chizkiah, the king of Yehuda, Melech Yehuda, and Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. The generation never saw a rainbow because the generation was a very holy, spiritual nation. There was no need for the rainbow. Okay? Now, what? I know. Let's learn another passage and we'll talk about it. What do you ask? It's a natural phenomenon?
It's also so beautiful and you're not supposed to look at it. And what's the connection?
You're not supposed to look at a rainbow?
Well, let's... Can we learn? Wait, you're jumping the gun. Huh? As Kashti... Okay, listen. Kashti... is a bow, but it means a rainbow. Nasati ba'onan. I'm going to put in the cloud. V'haysa la'ez bris, and that will be the covenant ubeini ubein ha'aretz, between me and the earth. Which means, as the, that's the one more pasuk. V'haya ba'anani onan ala aretz. It will be when I place a cloud over the earth. We'll see what that means. Because... then I'm going to show you the rainbow. We'll discuss in a second exactly, but let's discuss this point of the rainbow. Hashem says the rainbow, and therefore there's an interesting argument in halacha if you even say a bracha on a rainbow. Even if you make a bracha on a rainbow. Okay? Some people say you don't because it's not a good sign. Other people say, we do say a bracha. Our custom is, we do say a bracha on the rainbow. What is the bracha on the rainbow? So they bring down the bracha is, one second, here it is. Bracha to Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Zecher HaBris, one who remembers the covenant, Neman B'Brisei, he's faithful in his covenant, V'Kayim B'Marmara, and he keeps his word. In other words, what are we saying in the bracha? Because the rainbow, again, is a sign from Hashem that you deserve to be destroyed, and I'm not destroying you because I made a promise. So what do we say when we make see a rainbow, we're making a bracha, that God keeps his covenant, and he fulfills his covenant, and he keeps his word, and he doesn't change his word. So that's what we're thanking Hashem. Now, the question is like this. Let's discuss a little bit about this rainbow bit. What is it all about? Now, technically, as everybody knows, a rainbow is a physical phenomenon when the sun's light, the rays, hit a certain way with the clouds, right, with the thing, it changes color. I mean, makes those rainbow colors. So what do you mean it's a sign from God that he wants to destroy the world? It's just a natural happening. So the commentary that Rebbe brings us down also in the Sikha, but the commentary is explained very simply. This phenomenon itself, that when the rays hit the clouds, it creates that seven colors of the rainbow, that itself Hashem created after the flood. As, yeah, now it's a natural phenomenon, but what's the natural phenomenon? Because not every time it rains and not every time there are clouds, is there a rainbow? Not every rain has a rainbow. Sometimes there's a rainbow, sometimes there's not a rainbow. Right? And in fact, some of Farshim learn, as Kashti, my rainbow, Nosati. If you look in the Pasuk says,
is it Kashti?
What's
he? Boat?
Bow.
Bow or boat?
Bow. A bow and arrow is called Keshes. But here, Kashti is a bow.
Persian.
Oh, guess what? We're not learning Persian now. We're learning Torah, which happens to be Hebrew. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but the Torah is in Hebrew, not in Persian. You know that. Okay, good.
No, but lots of words is the same. So
you copied us.
Yes.
I hope Torah was first.
Yes.
Okay, good.
No problem.
Now, kashti actually means a bow. Therefore, a bow and arrow is also called kashas. A kashas means a bow. What's a bow? Go like this, semicircle, right? That's how a rainbow goes. Now, some of Farshim learn, interestingly, when it says nasati, okay, some of Farshim say nasati is past tense. Like Reb Sadia Goren says, the rainbow always existed. Because it says, my rainbow, I nasati, past tense. Hashem doesn't say, I'm going to put a rainbow in the clouds. Hashem says, the rainbow that I already put. So some of Farshim, there's a lot of interesting discussion in the commentaries about the rainbow stuff. Some of Farshim learn that the clouds before the flood were much thicker clouds. And therefore, there was no rays shining off the clouds to make the rainbow. In other words, the concept was there, but practically the clouds were different, so therefore they didn't display this light show, whatever it is, the rainbow show. Some Mefarshim disagree with Reb Sadia Goren, and they say no. You know, Ben Ezra says no. It's called by the rays of the sun, and Hashem changed the atmospheric nature after the flood for the sake of the rainbow. Okay? Now, so basically, the rainbow therefore is bad. Therefore, it says in Sfarim that when you see a rainbow, yeah, you make a bracha, but you don't go, hey, look, there's a rainbow. You're not supposed to. People do it. But you really, ideally, because it's a bad sign, not a good sign. A rainbow is a sign that because really God should be destroying the world, and he's not, only because he swore that he's not.
It means like right now, this is the moment.
Somewhere in the world, there's a place that deserves to be destroyed. And Hashem is not doing it only because he swore after the flood that he's not. And therefore, how do we know that God is keeping his covenant? He makes the rainbow. By seeing the rainbow, we know that Hashem is keeping his word.
So why doesn't he make the rainbow where that decree was supposed to be and it didn't?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. I thought of that also. Because sometimes he wants, we're all responsible one for another. Why is it blue?
Because
the fact that God is not destroying the world when the world deserves to be destroyed is beautiful. Huh? Think about it. You know how beautiful it is? Hashem says, guys, I want you to know, you really, somewhere in the world they should be destroyed, but I'm not. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Huh? He's a nice guy, God, by the way. Most of the time. All the time. What?
So the rainbow, is it that somewhere part of the world was supposed to be destroyed and it's not? Or is it that the entire world was supposed to be destroyed and it's
at least part of the world. Not necessarily the whole world.
Parts of the world do get destroyed.
Yeah, like earthquakes.
Yeah, but not totally. Yeah, but again, the promise was that the whole world won't get destroyed. That's individual areas.
So if there is that sign, is it our responsibility to respond to that?
One second.
Try to be good.
No, there's somebody says something in one second. Look, it was created a new phenomenon. Koba Asad, all flesh. Part of the population may be destroyed by flooding, but not the whole world. In other words, so God shows in some parts of the world, I just want you to know, there are people in this world that deserve to be destroyed.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, you just did.
Okay, so all of those hurricanes and all of those places that they get so much rain and it destroys houses and destroys the streets and cities, that's not flood, that's not
It's flawed, but it's not a flood that destroyed the entire world.
Kills everything.
Let me ask you a question. You know, some parts of the world are in a drought, and other parts of the world are flooding. Why couldn't God just, you know,
balance it?
Yeah. No, wait. Don't give these people too much rain. Give the other people that need the rain rain. Why doesn't God do that?
Huh? He wants us to work together.
Because he doesn't want to. I mean,
he wants us to pray.
Why does Hashem do what he does? You and I will never figure it out.
Yeah.
And don't even try to waste the time. All we know is what he does is right. Okay, but why? We can't understand why it's right. Then we would be God. If you would understand, like, you know, if you would be God, you would run the world the exact same way that God does.
So why doesn't he have Moshe at our time to lead us in the right direction?
Every generation has a tzaddik that leads the generation.
Where is ours at this time?
Ours passed away a number of years ago. But he's still leading. His legacy is still going on. The teachings are still going on. Everything's going on. It's still going on. After the previous Rebbe passed away, the Rebbe said then, you ask a question, you write to the Rebbe who passed away a question, he will find a way to answer you. Leave it to him, he'll find a way.
So, you could do the same thing with Moshe,
yeah, but you don't know where Moshe is buried. Nobody knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried, so where are you going
to
go?
Doesn't matter, you're talking to the...
You're right. Yeah. Yeah, by the way, a little bit. Okay. You know, there's a story with the Baal Shem Tov. There was a couple that didn't have children for a long time, and they didn't believe in the Baal Shem Tov. They didn't believe at all in the Baal Shem Tov. So somebody convinced them, nothing was helping. Okay, somebody convinced them, you have nothing to lose, go to the... So finally, they didn't want to go. Okay, but they went. They come into the Baal Shem Tov, they said to the Baal Shem Tov, we don't have any children, we want a blessing for children. So the Baal Shem Tov said to them, okay, 1,000 ruble, whatever it was. Yeah? So they said, nobody tells you charge money. So he said, okay, we'll give you 200. Baal Shem Tov said, take it or leave it. 1,000 ruble, whatever the amount was. 1,000 ruble, take it or leave it. The lady got so angry, she said to her husband, let's get out of here. We're going to daven to Hashem. We don't need these guys. Baal Shem Tov said to her, that's exactly what he wanted to hear. Baal Shem Tov gave him a brach and they had children. Understand? The Baal Shem Tov had to make her miserable that she should scream out, you know what? We're going to daven to Hashem. And then she meant it. She meant it. Baal Shem Tov said, okay, now you're going to have children. Hashem was a nice guy. He didn't charge $1,000. You understand me? But he had to bring out. There's many stories in Tzaddikim also with the Baal Shem Tov. People were poor, and all they needed was to ask. The money was waiting in heaven, but Hashem was waiting for them just to ask for it, and they never did. And finally, the Baal Shem came to the house and emptied them out to the last drop of anything that they had, and they were going crazy. So finally, they said, Hashem, we need money. And then they got the bracha, but they never asked.
Every day.
The answer to that is, obviously, Hashem thinks it's better for you without that. I told you, Hashem answers everybody's prayers. Sometimes the answer is no. That's it, but he answers everybody's prayers. Okay, so Hashem says, this is the covenant that I'm... back. Okay, now Kashti is past tense, meaning from beginning of the creation, but now, like the Ramban says, now God says this rainbow is going to be used as the symbol of the covenant that I had with you. Okay, now, It says, the sages say, concerning one who gazes at a rainbow, okay, whoever takes not the thought of his honor maker would have been better off if he had not come into this world. Meaning like this. What it says is like this. The Gemara says you shouldn't be looking at a rainbow, okay, because it's a symbol of God's glory, whatever. Whoever takes not the thought of the honor of his maker, meaning if you don't realize the greatness of Hashem, you should have never been created. That means, number one, a rainbow is bad. But a rainbow is also the reflection, and that's why it's so beautiful, like we said. Because it's a revelation of God. Okay, let's talk about this for a few minutes. Most relationships, we learned this in the past, but just to bring out relevant to here. Most relationships are based on behavior. That's understood, right? You behave, you're friends. You don't behave, you're not friends. Correct? There are certain relationships that are not based on behavior. Behavior doesn't change the relationship at all. For instance, a child is not more child when they behave, and they're not less child when they don't behave. A better friend if you're nicer to each other. If you're not so nice to each other, then you're not such good friends. Right? If you're mean to each other, you're not friends at all. Even husbands and wives, right? You can get married, you can, God forbid, get divorced. There is such a thing. Right? That means a relationship is based on something external. If that external thing works, it's good. It doesn't work, it's not good. That's it. The concept of a covenant that we're learning about here, the rainbow covenant, what's the concept of a covenant? The concept of a covenant is that when even things are not good, which means logically the relationship shouldn't be. Logically, the relationship shouldn't be. You're not behaving, right? So therefore, there's no relation, logically, between God and the world. Yes? Nevertheless, what's a covenant? A covenant taps deeper into the people, which creates a bond that's not dependent anymore on behavior. Got it? Relationships are based on behavior. A bond between two people, means it's not based on behavior, it's something deeper than behavior. Correct? So therefore, if the rainbow is God saying, I have a bond with the world, which is deeper than behavior, deeper than open relationship, yes, that reveals, basically, in essence, a greater level of God. It reveals a greater level of godliness. That the relationship between the world and God, or the Jew and God, which is a different type of a bond, bris, the covenant between a Jew and Hashem, is a deeper level that supersedes logic, rationale, behavior. It's a much deeper thing. And that explains more so why the rainbow is beautiful. Because a rainbow is a revelation of God telling us that my relationship and connection to you is so deep that your behavior really doesn't matter.
Why make it with Noah? Noah wasn't Jewish.
Mankind. We have our own bris. Circumcision.
Well, we have
but that's also a bond, but it's a deeper bond.
So a Jew has a deeper bond.
Sure. But mankind has a covenant with Hashem. God made a bris with the world, that he'll never destroy it again. A Jew is a much different story with children, servant, you know, it's a whole different relationship. You don't stare at a rainbow, it says. You look at a rainbow and make a bracha, and then it's not a sin to look. it's brought down, you shouldn't look. It's not one of the 613 commandments.
They take a picture and send it to each other, shouldn't
it? It's better not.
Not to get off the subject, if you ever watch these documentaries on, I guess with the rainbow, it's a big phenomenon because it's visible to us. But if you ever watch these documentaries on TV,
yeah,
black hole and all these other stars and galaxies, it's so mind-boggling that in itself, like, I mean, not that we need anything big. See the glory of Hashem, but I'm saying like the stuff out there that's so mind-blowing, where you really see the limitless glory of Hashem.
But there's an aspect that the commentators bring down over here. It's another interesting concept. God tells us to do things not because, for instance, by Pesach, right? Hashem in Egypt yet. Hashem said, slaughter the carbon Pesach, take the blood and put it on your doorpost, and then God will pass over the doors. Yeah? Now tell me, God didn't know with his GPS who's Jewish and who's not Jewish. He needed a sign. He needed a sign on the door to tell God, oh, by the way, this is not for you. Jump over it. Pass over it. Obviously, it's ridiculous. Okay. What does Hashem say? It's not for me, it's for you. Not for me. I need you to do a certain action that merits my protecting you. It's not God. Not God needs the sign to know. Okay? God's sign of the rainbow, yeah, God's producing the sign. But for whom is it? Not for Hashem. Hashem doesn't need a sign to remind him not to bring a rainbow. I mean, not to destroy the world. There are certain things, Hashem, we do because Hashem says you need to be aware of it. Like davening, we said davening is not for God. God doesn't need our prayers. We need our prayers because we need to understand that Hashem is the source of everything that we need. He's the source of it.
So why is it the prayers? I think about Shmuel Esther. I think about all the prayers leading up to.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of lip service.
Lip service?
Lip service.
Yeah. Just
like what?
Like positive lip service.
It's positive. No, for us, we just, it's praise after praise after praise after praise.
Yeah, God has a big ego, it sounds like.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, what is the point?
What is the point? For us to be aware of God's greatness. Let me ask you a question. There's a little cockroach, a little ant, yeah? A-N-T. Yeah. On the other end of the world, literally, okay? In the Amazon jungle. And two ants are having a conversation. You know that guy Mordechai in Beverly Hills? Ooh, he's a great guy, yeah? Are you going to lose sleep or gain sleep by them, those two things praising you? Could you care less what they're saying about you? Or they get upset with you because you didn't invite them to your wedding. And they're going to be upset. The two aunts are saying, you know, that guy at a mom's, he didn't invite me to his wedding. Yeah? You're going to care about it? Okay. Now just think for a second. The ants are a limited creature. We are limited creatures. Correct? Much greater than them, granted. But they're limited. We are limited. Okay? God is unlimited. And we are limited. Correct? The relationship, the connection between us and the bugs is infinitely greater than, just mathematically, than our relationship with Hashem. Correct? Yes? Do you think God cares less if we praise Him or not? If the two bugs don't mean anything to you, right? You think God cares about us? The difference between Hashem and us, infinite and finite, is infinitely greater than the difference between us and the bugs. We're both limited creatures. Yes? So what's the answer? It's not for him. The ego class, yeah, is not for Hashem. Hashem couldn't care less if we praise him or not. What does Hashem want? That when you are aware that I will give it to you, then you become worthy of me giving it to you. But you need to first acknowledge that it comes from me. After you know and it comes from me, then I can give it to you. Not because you become a vehicle now, you become a vessel for it to happen. It's not for Hashem in any way whatsoever. So what do we gain by praising Hashem in different stages of davening, right? In the Pesukah Dezimra, in Berachas Kirshma, it's all about us realizing the greatness of Hashem. It's not for Him. So a lot of times Hashem does things not for Him, or He tells us to do things. It's for us to be aware, or to be able to have a merit that we merit that Hashem should do things for us. Like Pesach. The Jews were naked, it says in Haggadah, Erev Ve'eriah. They were naked for mitzvahs. There were no mitzvahs, right? Okay, so God gave them in Egypt, right before they left, as it's called in English, the two bloody mitzvahs. Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. Why did Hashem give it to them? Because they needed a merit to go out of Egypt with. Hashem said, you want to go out of Egypt, you have to deserve it. It has to be one with you. Of course God could take us out of Egypt without giving us any mitzvahs. God can make us exist without having to do any mitzvahs whatsoever. But God said, that's not what I want. I want you to be part of it. I want you to connect to me. And that's the same thing with the rainbow. Hashem says, listen, I just want to bring out a point, Hashem says, that there's a relationship between me and the world, Hashem says, that is above and beyond behavior. In behavior of the world, you should be destroyed. But I'm not going to destroy you because the bond is deeper than that. Okay.
Rainbow.
Next pasuk. No. Okay. Okay. So pasuk. Tezov again. Zochati is brisi. I'm going to remember my covenant. Asher beini v'neichem, and there won't be any more marble. I won't bring the marble anymore. L'shachet kol basam. Okay. Sentence 16. Tezayin. But on the rainbow will be in the clouds. Or he see on the Hashem said, I will see the rainbow. Hashem's making the rainbow, then Hashem says, I'm gonna see the rainbow. Liska bris elam, to remember this everlasting covenant, the permanent covenant. Okay. And the Babinel says an interesting thing. What does God say? I'm gonna see it. God tells the Babinel says a very interesting thing. God says to the people, even if you don't see it, it doesn't matter. I see it. I need to be reminded, so to speak, that not to bring a flood. So even if you don't see it, don't worry about it. I see what I need to see. That's the way the Babinel learns. Between God, between all living creatures, b'chol basar asher alor, it's every flesh that's on the earth. K'v'yemer l'kim al neach, so Hashem said to neach, zeis eis abris, this is the covenant, okay? Asher akimetzi, which I have established, b'ni uvein b'chol basar asher alor, between everybody else that's on the world. Okay, Hashem says, I can see it, even if you can't, like we just said from the Barbanel. The Sepurnus says even more. The rainbow is even a sign for the righteous. Because when God destroys, He doesn't differentiate between good and bad. And also, to tell the righteous, you better pray for the evil people or make them better. Because otherwise, you should also be destroyed. And make other people good.
But you have no responsibility to make other people good.
sorry to disappoint you. Sorry to disappoint you. But according to Torah, all Jews are responsible one for another. Sorry to disappoint you. Now, we learn it out from Chumash, we learn it out from Psukim, the Gol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, which means all Jews are responsible one for another. This manifests itself in many, many, many different ways. Okay? The expression of the Gemara is Kol Yisrael, all Jews, Arevim, literally means are responsible, guarantors, Zeh Bazeh, one to the next. Okay? But the word Arev, Arevim, really has three meanings to it. The root, Ayin Resh Beis, besides Erev, which means evening, but that's not what it means. Arev in Hebrew means sweet. Taruvis means mixture. Arov, what was the plague of Arov? A mixture of wild animals. Arev means mixed. Arev means sweet. And Arev means guarantor. Okay? Now, grammatically, when the Gemara says every Jew is responsible, one, what would you say, one to another? Correct? So grammatically, the Gemara should have said, Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lo Ze. One to the next. Lamed is two. Ba means in. Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Bazeh is incorrect grammar in grammar. It means all Jews are responsible one in the next. It should be one to the next. Correct? Okay. So Chassidus explains, Arevim means mixed. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebas, and not only are we guarantors, why are we guarantors? Why am I responsible for what you do? Who cares? I'm me, you. Why should I care what you do? Halacha says, no, I'm responsible to make sure you do what you have to do. Why? Because if you're missing, I'm missing. And what I lack, you lack. Why? Because we're one big mixture. All Jews are one big body. Okay? You have a pain in your toenail. What feels pain? The leg or the whole body goes crazy? The whole body goes crazy. Why? The toenail is what's ingrown. So therefore, the whole body feels the pain. Why? The answer would be, you know why? Because it's one body. Correct? If your foot hurts, we mentioned this many times. If your foot hurts and you go to the doctor, what do? You go into the doctor and you say, doctor, my foot hurts. Yes? Does the doctor tell you, 1 minute, do you have a power of attorney from the foot to speak for the foot? Think about it. Who gives the head the right to speak for the foot? What's the answer? Obviously, what's the answer? Power of attorney is two different people. One needs a power of attorney from the next. One person, it's all one person, head to toe. Right? So if your foot hurts, who communicates? You don't go to the doctor and stick up your foot. He still won't know what you're talking about. Who communicates for the foot? The head. So the head and the foot are one mixture. If there's something missing in the foot, there's something missing in the head. And if there's something missing in the head, there's something missing in the foot, and everywhere in between. So therefore, if a Jew is missing in observance, let's say, it's not only affecting you, it affects me too. Which explains, by the way, a very interesting halacha concept. Somebody who's not obligated to do a mitzvah cannot do it for somebody else. For instance, okay, Purim's coming up soon. You have to hear the Megillah, correct? Who can read the Megillah for you? Somebody who's obligated to hear the Megillah. A kid under bar mitzvah can't read the Megillah for you. Why? Because they're not responsible. They're not obligated. If they're not obligated, right, they can't read it for you. Yes? Now, if I heard the Megillah already, can I read it for you? But I'm not obligated anymore. Why am I allowed, or shofar, right? You have to hear shofar. You need somebody blowing the shofar. Who has to blow the shofar? One who's obligated in the midst of shofar. You can't have a kid blowing shofar for you, right? Because he's not obligated. But if I already heard shofar, how can I go blow shofar for you? I'm not obligated anymore. How could I do fulfill your obligation? Or anything. I heard Kiddush already. How can I make Kiddush again for you? Anything like that. So what's the answer? The answer in halacha is because we are all responsible one for another. And therefore, if you didn't hear shofar, I have an obligation to make sure you hear shofar. And therefore, I can blow for you. My personal obligation, I did. But I have an obligation that you have to hear shofar, and therefore I'm allowed to blow for you. It's a remarkable concept. What's the concept, underlying concept? We are all one.
For example, you tell somebody not to murder, for example, steal, whatever you want, one of the commandments, and he goes and he does it. You did your best. You begged the person, don't do it. This is wrong. This is against humanity. This is against your morals, ethics.
Maybe if I said it in a better way, he wouldn't have done it.
And the person who says it, they become your number one
enemy. Thank God. Baruch Hashem. You get rewarded for it yet. They hate you.
Yeah.
That's great. Less weddings to go to, less bar mitzvahs to go to. If they hate you, it's good. You don't have to go anywhere. You know what? Maybe if I would have said it the right way to you, they would have listened. How do you know no? You're saying no?
Huh? I was in the middle of something like that and I tried to...
But I'm saying, I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just saying maybe it wasn't done the right way. Maybe if they were said the right way, they wouldn't have done it.
Maybe the person is not
ready. There's a story with Rebbe Rashab, with Chaim Birskir, of Chaim Meizer, these great tzaddikim, okay? The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, but Chaim Birskir and Chaim Meizer were very close. They're the Litvish crowd and there's Chabad, but they're very, very good friends. They used to work together in Russia and a lot of the government decrees against the Jews. And there was one difficult decree. They worked and worked and worked, and they didn't. They weren't successful. Later, Reb Chaim Brisker came and he saw the Rebbe Rashab crying. He saw him crying. He said to him, "Lubavitcher Rebbe, we did everything humanly possible." Like, what did the Rebbe answer him? The Rebbe said to him, "Yeah, but the decree still was there. The decree wasn't nullified. Yeah, so we're going to get a brownie point upstairs, you know, get a check for doing the best possible. But is that what really counts? The bottom line is the decree was still there. We have to try. We're all responsible one for another. If there's something, just think of it, we're one body. If there's something wrong with the foot, there's something wrong in the entire body, even the head. Even the head is in this week's parsha. This week's parsha with the golden calf. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was on the Har Sinai, he got the luchis, we got the tablets, and now Moshe Rabbeinu is coming down. So before he comes down, Hashem says to him, "Lech reid, go down." So Rashi brings, what's the redundancy? Go, lech. What's lech reid? Go down. So Rashi says from the Medrash, Hashem said to Moshe, the only reason I gave you greatness was because of the Jews. They're down, you're down too. Lech go, reid migdulascha, you're going to lower yourself because the only reason I gave you greatness was because of the Jews. You know why? Because you're one big body. If everything goes down, everything goes down. We are responsible for one another. They tell the famous story. A kid was on a boat and he got bored on a boat. Kashti, what's it called?
Kashti.
I know what Kashi is, but this Kashti. Okay.
Is different.
Yeah, this is different. Okay, down the Kashti. You know boat? You know that in Farsi means a boat. Kashti. You know that. Okay, good. So they were on a boat, and they looked. Huh? It's probably the only word in Farsi I know now. Until tonight, I'll forget it. So the kid got bored, so he took out a pocket knife, and he started making a hole under his seat. Okay? So the people said to him, "Are you crazy? What are you doing?" He said, "Mind your own business. This is my seat. Under my seat, I could do whatever I want." So they obviously stopped him, and he said, "Yeah, you could do whatever you want, but you're going to drown the whole boat." Right? Mind, the Rebbe said this expression many times. The expression in America, "mind your own business," is against Torah. I'm not talking about what you eat or what it is. Minding your own business when it comes to religion is against Torah. Because Torah says we are responsible one for another. And that's the covenant Hashem is making with everybody. And therefore, when the tzaddikim see the rainbow, what does it mean for them? The commentators explain that they also have to wake up, because obviously there are people in the world that are not behaving properly, and it's their responsibility, like everything else. Life is tough. Not only do we have to deal with our own life, we have to deal with everybody's life.
But see a rainbow, it's usually only for a few
seconds. Yeah, rainbow doesn't last long. And by the time you get the camera to take the picture, it's gone.
It is. The people who see it, it's for them to see. It's meant for them to see it, right?
That is a very interesting point that you're mentioning based on the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. If there's a rainbow,
Not everybody sees it,
right? Some guys are in the house by the time they get out.
Right,
I'm saying even if you're in the same place, somebody outside could see it. Somebody inside doesn't see it. Why?
Because you're meant to see it.
You're meant to see it, and the other person wasn't meant to see it. You know, you have to learn something from it. Maybe Hashem is telling you, you're a tzaddikus, you, that you have responsibility to other people also. Mm-hmm. That there are people that need improvement. Yeah, that could very well be. And the other person that didn't see it, because for them it's not such an important lesson.
Sorry, this might be a stupid question.
There is no such thing in this class as a stupid question. Just stupid answers.
The plants, sometimes when the sun comes, you make the rainbow happen. So what does that mean?
Hmm?
You know, when you're watering the plants, sometimes when you're...
No, on the sidewalk, you mean? That's not a real rainbow.
No, but
there's a rainbow.
Yeah, 100%
when you do a mist.
Do a mist, but that's not in the clouds. This is... The rainbow Torah says is in the clouds.
For sure.
Oh,
so yeah.
It's a prism, but you're not seeing a rainbow.
It's a prism.
That's
what?
It's a prism. Like a rainbow.
So it looks like a rainbow.
It's different colors.
Huh?
That's what they call it, a prism.
Yeah, it's a prism, but a rainbow, the Torah says, is Ba'anani, and the clouds, the Torah says, clearly.
Okay, make a rainbow from a prism? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
That's not a rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
It's the colors of the rainbow. You know, you can make with... Today you can make anything. You can make... Over the rainbow, what is that thing? Over the rainbow? You can make a rainbow.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
You could draw on a piece of paper a rainbow. By the way, the rainbow is all seven colors, which corresponds with the seven midos. The seven colors correspond with the seven emotional midos of Hashem. Each color represents a different midah.
Like
chesed is white, gevurah is red. I mean, there's a lot of different colors with that. Anyway, tonight's class is sponsored by Jimmy Moaber, in memory of his father, Moshe ben Yosef. Yes? Shalom Shirav and Aliyah.
Amen.